आचानुलंपिता भूचौ कनकथावतो सांख्योतनायकपितरो खमतायतक्षो विश्वांबरो द्विजबरो युगधार्मपालो वंदेशकप्रियकरो करुणावतारो वंदे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद सहोदतो गौरोढये पुष्पवंतो चित्रोसंदोधमोनतो जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे
This evening we have come to one of the most beautiful and sacred places in all the world, Srikanda Gram. The place we are sitting now is the exact location in which Srila Lochandas Thakur, an inhabitant of Srikanda, had written his famous literature, Sri Chaitanya Mangala. Lochandas Thakur lived in a village not so far from here, and as was the tradition, he was married at a very, very early age. In those days, around 10 years old was the standard time to be married. So his wife was younger than him, and shortly after his marriage, he met the very, very great associate of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Narahari Sarakar, who was also loved by the devotees by the name Narahari Thakur. So he decided to accept Narahari Thakur as his spiritual master. So he came here to Srikanda, and the place we were just at was Narahari Sarakar's ashram. So he came here and lived with Narahari Sarakar and became a very, very humble and surrendered brahmachari. And he remained here serving his Guru Maharaj. From Narahari Thakur, he was always hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu for many years. After he grew up, his wife also grew up, the wife's parents and relatives were becoming very disturbed because Lochan was not returning. So they found out he was at Srikanda living with his Guru Maharaj. So parents and other very, very senior gentlemen of their village came here to Srikanda and they spoke to Narahari Sarakar. They said, "Oh, great soul, we understand you have one disciple named Lochan. And this Lochan Das, he may be a brahmachari in your ashram, but he's actually a married man. And his wife is still living with her parents. And what about this girl? She's already married. She cannot be married again. He's responsible for her as a husband. So please, we request you that we should not ruin the life of this gentle lady. You should send your Lochandas back to take care of his wife and be responsible." So Narahari called upon Lochandas and told him that you should go back to your wife's village and you should meet with the relatives and you should at least accept some responsibility for her. Lochandas Thakur, he did not have the slightest inclination to go back to his wife. However, his Guru Maharaj had given him this order. So as an obedient servant, he went back to his wife's village. Now, when he was married, he was a little boy. He didn't even remember the village. He didn't even know where his father-in-law lived. So there was a tank of water where he saw a young lady drawing water. And he said to her with great respect, he said, "Oh, mother, can you tell me where this particular man's house is?" She said, "Oh, sir, yes. He lives over there." So she gave directions. So he went to that place. And while he was there, that same mother came to the house carrying the water. And then he discovered that this was his wife. He hadn't seen her since she was a little tiny girl, and now she was a grown-up lady. And she did not recognize him, nor did he recognize her. Somehow they were introduced to each other. So he told her that, "I've been raised by my Guru Maharaj for all these years as a brahmachari, and I have been trained to see every woman as my mother. None as my sister, none as my wife. I just see every woman as my mother. And somehow or other, by the will of Providence, when I first met you, I approached you as my mother. And to be very honest with you, I can never have any other relationship with you except that you are my mother. I can't see you as my wife." So she understood what he was saying, and he went back to Srikanda to live with Narahari Sankara. He became a very great poet. He wrote such beautiful songs as Parama Karuna Pahunduichan Nithai Gaura Chandra.
Parama Karuna Pahunduichan Nithai Gaura Chandra.
Parama Karuna Pahunduichan Nithai Gaura Chandra.
Parama Karuna Pahunduichan
Nithai Gaura Chandra. Ava Avatara Sarasya Kevala Ananda Khanda. Vaja Vaja Bhai Chaitanya Nithai Sudrita Vishvashakori. Vishaya Pshadiya Sera Samajiya Muke Bolo Hari Hari.
Vishaya Pshadiya Sera Samajiya Muke Bolo Hari Hari.
It was also here under these beautiful trees in this lovely forest just outside of the village of Srikanda that Lord Chandas Thakur wrote Sri Chaitanya Ganga. We'd like to say a few words about Srikanda. For those of you who have read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will understand the very great significance of this place. The people of Srikanda traditionally are very devout followers of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And I think even today you have some experience of this. As we were coming through the procession on Harinam Sankirtan, practically the whole of the village was coming out to offer their obeisances, to pour water to cool the feet of the Sankirtan party. Although they're very, very poor people, it's not a city. It's a place of very, very simple, poor villagers. But still, according to the Vedic tradition, they came out with great devotion and honor to offer what little they had, some respect, some sweet words, some water for our feet to cool the path. At the time of Lord Chaitanya, this village was filled with very, very great devotees. In fact, you'll find in Jagannath Puri, every single year, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided 7 Sankirtan parties. four with his own intimate associates, headed by such great souls as Nityananda Prabhu and Mukunda Dutt and Srivas Thakur and Swarup Damodar Goswami, Prakreshwar Pandit, Govinda Ghosh. And then there was one party that would come every year who were devotees from Shantipur, who were personally trained by Advaitacharya in Krishna consciousness. And there was also a group which came from the village of Kulinagram, headed by Satyaraj Khan and Ramananda. And the seventh group was devotees from the village of Srikanda. They comprised one of the seven Sankirtan groups that were personally organized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every year in Jagannath Puri. And every year, many of these great devotees from Srikanda would go to Jagannath Puri, and how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would welcome them with such ecstatic love. He loved this village. This village was so dear to Lord Gauranga's heart because of the great, great intimate devotees who were serving him here. Some of these devotees. One was Mukunda Sarakar. There were two brothers, Mukunda Sarakar and Narahari Sarakar. Mukunda was the elder brother, and he had a son named Raghunandan. Now, Mukunda Sarakar was the physician for the emperor of Bengal, this province. He was the doctor for the king, and he was a very, very honored person throughout all of the land. It is described that one time he was on a very high raised platform along with the king, who was sitting on his throne, and the king was asking him about certain medical advice. And just as he was speaking to the king, one of the king's servants came with a peacock fan in order to shade the king from the sun. When Mukunda Sarakar saw the peacock fan, it reminded him of Krishna. And he just awakened an ecstatic symptom of love, and he just fell unconscious and fell way down off the platform onto the ground. And the king, who loved and respected Mukunda so greatly, he immediately got off of his throne and ran down to the ground to see if Mukunda was still alive. And he somehow brought him back to consciousness. And he said, "Are you all right? Are you in pain?" And Mukunda Sarakar said, "No, I have hardly any pain." The king asked him, "Is there something wrong? What happened?" And Mukunda Sarakar was so humble, he did not want to say, "I am a great devotee and I am in ecstasy." Rather, he said, "I'm very sorry, but I have epilepsy. And sometimes I fall into these fits and I go unconscious." When the king heard that, he was a very intelligent king. He began to think that when he saw the peacock feathers, he must have remembered Krishna. He is a Paramahamsa Mahabhagavata. He is a pure, great devotee of the Lord. And then with great honor and respect, the king told Mukunda that whatever you need, please meet me like that. And then after that, the great king honored Mukunda Sarakar as a great saint, not only as a doctor. Sometime later, he left his royal service, he retired to go to Srinavadvip Dham and to study the Shastras and simply spend time with the devotees, hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Mukunda had a son whose name was Raghunandan. And when he was just a small boy, one day Mukunda was called to do some of his medical work away from home. Now every day in the temple of Sri Radha Gopinath, the temple that we had just been. Beautiful deity. This deity was the family deity of Mukunda Sarakar. There's also a deity of Gopal there. So he would offer with his own loving hands bhoga to the deity every day. So one day, when he was sent away, he asked his little son, Raghunandan, to perform the offering for him. So Raghunandan agreed. He gave him simple instructions. You bring the offering in, and you offer a prayer to Krishna to please accept this bhoga. So little Raghunandan brought the offering in on the plate made by his mother, and he said to Gopinath, please accept this offering. And then he waited for some time. And he said again to Gopinath, please accept this offering. And he said it again. And then he started to cry and cry and cry. With so much love and devotion he was crying. Now Krishna always recognizes the tears of one who has bhakti. So Gopinath said to him, why are you crying? He said, because I asked you to eat this food and you are not eating. Gopinath said, I already ate. Raghunandan said, but the food is still here. He said, but I ate through my glance. And the rest, this is remnants, it's prasad. And Raghunath, he did not understand what is this philosophy about eating through eyes. So he continued to cry. And he said, my Lord, please eat this food. Will you not accept it from me? So just to please his little devotee, right in front of his eyes, he picked up the food with his hands and he ate it. Shri Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai! This story took place here in Sri Kananda. Very powerful to purify your heart to hear this story in this place. So, he took the tray off the altar and the mother was wondering, where is the prasad? He said, Krishna ate it. So she did not know what to think. Whether the sun ate it, whether Krishna ate it, whether some animal ate it. So when Mukunda came home, this was reported to him. And he said, my son, where is the prasad? He said, Krishna ate it. He said, how did Krishna eat it? He said, at first he didn't eat it, but I started to cry. And I asked him, please eat it. And then he started discussing the matter with me. And then he ate it. Mukunda Sarakar understood that his son Raghunandan was a very, very special soul who had tremendous bhakti. So he said, I want you to offer this laddu to Gopinath Gopal. So Mukunda, from a secret place, was hiding and watching. Of course, Gopinath knew he was watching. So Raghunandan did not know he was watching. So he put the laddu down and he said, oh Gopinath, please accept this laddu. And Gopinath, with his eyes, he ate it. But the laddu was still there because the Lord, all of his senses can perform the functions of all of his other senses. This is the science of prasad. When Krishna looks with his glance and he can taste the sweetness of the devotion of his devotee in which it was prepared and offered. And when he takes that, he completely spiritualizes what is there with his own mercy, and therefore it is called prasad. And that prasad can purify your heart because it is none different than Krishna. So Gopinath performed this wonderful act of mercy. And Raghunandan again began to cry.
And he said, please accept my offering, Gopinath, please. And then right in front of Raghunandan's eyes, Gopinath reached down and ate half laddu. But because he had just eaten shortly before, he left the other half. And Mukunda Sarakar was watching in great ecstatic love to understand what kind of son I have. He is giving me bhakti. So the news spread that Raghunandan Thakur was such a dear devotee to the Lord. And it spread to one very, very great and intimate associate of Lord Nityananda, whose name is Abhiram Thakur, also known as Ram Das. What kind of devotee was this Abhiram Thakur? In Krishna's Leela, he is Sridhama, the younger brother of Srimati Radharani. And in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, he was simultaneously an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya as well as Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, he told Nityananda Prabhu, I want you to go to Bengal and preach Krishna consciousness, give love of God to everyone without discrimination. And I'm giving you my two best men to go with you, Abhiram Thakur and Gadadhar Das. And he gave so many others as well. Abhiram Thakur, sometimes when Nityananda Prabhu was having kirtan with his devotees, he would go into ecstasy and he would stand in a threefold bending form for 9 hours playing a flute, not moving. And all the devotees would just have kirtan around him until he came out of his trance. At other times, because his nature was a cowherd boy, he wanted to play a flute. So one day he just started looking around for flutes, but there were no flutes anywhere. Where is a flute? He was looking, but there were no flutes. So he went into a forest and he picked up a tree, a log of a tree in which over 100 men could not lift. And he picked it up and he stood in a threefold bending form, holding it and playing it like a flute. Abhiram Thakur also had a whip, and the name of this whip was Jai Mangal. And anyone he would beat with this whip would achieve Krishna Prema. In fact, when Srinivasa Acharya, he went to Karadaha to visit Janava Devi, and Janava Devi said, you must go see Abhiram Thakur. He's such a great devotee of the Lord. And Abhiram Thakur was waiting for Srinivas, along with his wife. And Srinivas offered his respectful obeisances. But Abhiram wanted to test Srinivas to see what kind of devotee he was. Hare Krishna. He gave him just a little tiny bit of money, some of the lowest denomination of coins. And he said, you go to Bank of Ganga and you cook some prasad for yourself. Because obviously Srinivas hadn't eaten in a long time. So Srinivas took that little bit and cooked just a little bit of prasad, and then he offered it to Krishna. And just when he was about to eat it, Abhiram sent 4 of his servants. He said, go out and meet with Srinivas. So the 4 went out and they met with Srinivas, and Srinivas said, please sit down and have prasad. And whatever was for him, it was just a little bit, he gave it to them. And he just took a little portion of the Mahaprasad to honor it, but he gave the rest to them. And he welcomed them with such humility and such a desire to serve, even though he didn't know them, who they were, where they were coming from. So they were completely satisfied, and they came back to Abhiram Thakur and said, he gave us very nice prasad. So then Abhiram was so pleased with Srinivas, he called him back and he wanted to reward him by beating him with his whip. So he very gently slapped him with the whip one time, and Srinivas Acharya went into ecstasy. Then he whipped him another time, and Srinivas went into greater ecstasy. And then he whipped him another time, and Srinivas was going mad with ecstasy. And then the wife of Abhiram said, "Please don't beat him anymore." He said, "If you touch him anymore, he'll go completely mad with uncontrollable ecstasy of love of God." Abhiram Thakur had another very peculiar characteristic, that he would bow down to deities or Shalagram Shilas. And if Krishna wasn't personally accepting worship in that Shalagram Shila due to the love of his devotees or that deity, the deity and the Shila would immediately just crack into thousands of pieces. And another thing, he would bow down to people. And if that person that he bowed down to even had one drop of material conceptions or desires, the person would immediately die.
Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhya sadhu vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
When Abhiram said that, you had to actually be living by that principle. In fact, it is said that Lord Nityananda had several children, and Abhiram would go to each one of them and bow down, and they would die.
Hare Krishna.
Till Birbhadra was born. So, when Abhiram Thakur heard that the small boy, Raghunandan, was offering Gopinath laddus, and Gopinath was eating them, seeing his tears, Abhiram wanted to go and bow down to this great soul. And the news spread in Srikhanda that because Raghunandan had Gopinath eat the laddu, now Abhiram's coming to bow down to him for his devotion. So they were very afraid, especially Mukunda Sarakar, his father. What will happen? He'll bow down, my son may die, and he's coming. So when Abhiram was at the outskirts of town in Srikhanda, they took Raghunandan and hid him in a separate house in a private room. And Abhiram came to the house of Mukunda Sarakar, where we just were. And he said to Mukunda and all the other relatives, "Where is Raghunandan? I want to offer my obeisances to him." And they said that he's not here. He's out of town. We didn't know you were coming. So somehow or other, he went to another place. So Abhiram Thakur came to the exact place where we are sitting right now. Do you see that beautiful little structure there? That's where Abhiram was sitting. That is in commemoration of this wonderful pastime. And he was sitting, and he was very, very lovingly chanting the holy names. Enjoying this beautiful, beautiful, holy atmosphere with these banyan trees. As he was sitting and chanting, somehow or other, Raghunandan just came here on his own. Nobody knew, but he got out of the house, he got out of the room that they were hiding him in, and he came to this place. And he came right before Abhiram Thakur. Raghunandan immediately offered his obeisances to Abhiram Thakur. And then Abhiram Thakur offered his respectful, humble obeisances at the lotus feet of Raghunandan. And Raghunandan did not die, but rather he began to dance. And then Abhiram Thakur began to dance, And they both began to dance, and they embraced each other and covered each other with tears of ecstasy of their love. And they danced and danced and danced together as they were loudly chanting the holy name. And as they were dancing, one of the Raghunandan Thakur's lotus ankle, they were dancing so ecstatically that it broke off and flew some miles away to a village nearby and fell into a kund. And that kund to this very day is called Nupur Kund. It is a very holy place. Srila Prabhupada discusses that kund in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the holy place where Abhiram Thakur and Raghunandan Thakur danced in transcendental ecstasy. As we were explaining before, there was a tree, a kadamba tree, which we had seen the place where the tree previously was, and that kadamba tree would grow two beautiful, fragrant kadamba flowers every single day. Just at the time when Raghunandan wanted to offer those kadamba flowers to Gopinath. One time in Jagannath Puri, many years later, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda Sarakar, he said, "Are you the father of Raghunandan? Or is Raghunandan the father of you? Can you please answer this question for me?" And Mukunda Sarakar replied, "Raghunandan is the father of me because he is the one who has given me Krishna Bhakti. Therefore, he is my father." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very pleased with this answer. And he said, "Yes." He said, "One who enlightens you in Krishna Bhakti is your spiritual master, your spiritual father." Although Mukunda Sarakar was such a great devotee, he was so inspired by Raghunandan's devotion that he actually considered his son to be his father. That is the natural gratitude and humility of a true Vaishnava. And how much that made Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart so pleased. One time, Lord Chaitanya, in Jagannath Puri, he gave three instructions to these three great devotees, which are very important for all of us to understand. He told Mukunda Sarakar that you are a grihastha. Your duty is to earn material and spiritual wealth. And then he told to Raghunandan, your duty is to serve the deity of the Lord. And he told to Narahari Sarakar, you should stay here with me in Jagannath Puri, and you should preach. So Srila Prabhupada explains there are three types of services, essentially, of devotees. And the Lord respects all of them equally if they are done with sincere devotion. One is a grihastha who actually earns but uses his wealth for propagating Krishna consciousness, and also follows the principles of Krishna consciousness very carefully in his own life. According to Lord Chaitanya, that is the perfect execution of the duty of the grihastha. And there is also a need for brahmacharis who worship the deities. And there is also a great need for preachers who live in the ashram, not only brahmacharis that worship the deities, but even people at the home who worship their deities. And then there is also a great need for preachers who live in the ashram, who live with other Vaishnavas, and they simply, in that association, spread the glories of the holy name around.
Narahari Sarakar was such a great devotee. He was one of the most dear and favorite associates of Lord Chaitanya. In the Gauravanodeshtapika by Kavi Karnapur, he says that previously Narahari Thakur was Madhumati, one of the most confidential gopi maidservants of Srimati Radharani. And now he has appeared as Narahari Thakur, the favorite associate of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings about Narahari. Narahari Ari Kari Chamaradulaya. His special service was that he would fan Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with chamara. And he became a very, very dear, brother-like associate of Gadadhar Pandit. In fact, for many years, he lived with Gadadhar Pandit. And together, they would just ecstatically read Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Jagannath Puri and Tota Gopinath Temple, Narahari Sarakar lived in that complex as the most intimate associate of Gadadhar Pandit, and together they would study Srimad Bhagavatam, read Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally come every day and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with them. Narahari Sarakar was such a dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was one of the most respected senior of all the associates of Lord Chaitanya. It is described how Srinivas Acharya, Janava Mataji, all these great personalities, they would come to Srikanda just to see Narahari Sarakar and take his blessings and take dust from his lotus feet. And he worshipped this beautiful, beautiful deity of Prana Gauranga. And because it was Narahari Thakur's personal deity, this deity became very, very much loved by all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And Vaishnavas from every part would come to Srikanda to meet with Narahari Sarakar. And when they would come, he would bring them before the beautiful deity of Prana Gauranga, and everyone would worship that deity and dance in ecstatic love, chanting the holy name. There are many stories. We will explain one beautiful narration. Please listen with great attention. By hearing this wonderful story with great attention, we will get a beautiful understanding of the glories of Srikanda, Narahari Sarakar, Raghunandan Thakur. And we will also very much purify our own hearts. So once Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, they would all come to Srikanda regularly to take guidance, to receive teachings, and to get blessings from Narahari Sarakar. After Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet, actually even before, you know the story of Srinivas. Jajigram is just close by. We were there. So I will give little more narration in this regard. Srinivas Acharya, we explained how he took his birth and how he came to be living in Jajigram. When he was little grown up, he had so much devotion to Lord Chaitanya. In fact, Narahari Sarakar would personally come from Srikanda to Jajigram just to give his blessings to Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas decided he wanted to go to Jagannath Puri to surrender to Lord Chaitanya. And his mother gave blessings. So, before he went, he wanted to get Narahari's blessings. So he came to Shrikanta. And Narahari told him that Advaitacharya has recently sent me a message that he personally gave Lord Chaitanya. And from the sound of this message, I can understand that very soon our beloved Lord Gauranga is going to disappear from this world. So if you're going to go to Jagannath Puri, you should go immediately. Do not waste any time. So Srinivasacharya began, and he was running to Jagannath Puri. In ecstatic love, he was just running with his arms raised, constantly chanting the names of Gauranga. He was running in such a way, he was praying and wishing that he had wings so he could fly. And every person he saw coming from that direction, he would ask them, how is Lord Chaitanya? How is Gadadhar Pandit? How are the associates of the Lord? And any news he would get would just inspire him to run faster and faster. When he came toward the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, he saw people coming from the city of Puri, and they had great distress on their faces. He asked, what's wrong? How is Mahaprabhu? They could not speak. He had to force an answer from them. And ultimately, with tears in their eyes and faltering voices, they explained, Mahaprabhu has disappeared from the world. Srinivasacharya, he just fell to the ground unconscious. He came back to consciousness. He began to weep and he began to cry. With his hands, he started pulling out his hairs. He started beating against his head. He started scratching skin out of his chest. He started falling to the ground and rolling in the dust, weeping in agony. And anyone who saw him or heard him, their hearts would melt. And then he decided, tonight I will end my life by entering into fire. But in his great tribulation, by the mercy of the Lord, he fell asleep. And in his sleep, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in his beautiful golden form. And he told Srinivas, you should not take your life. He said, you should go to Puri and you should go to where I study Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit, and you should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So Srinivas somehow or other sustained his life, and he went into Jagannath Puri. When he first got there, he was asking, where is Tota Gopinath Temple? When he came to the Tota Gopinath Temple, just days before, Lord Chaitanya disappeared in the Tota Gopinath Temple. And Gadadhar Pandit, his beautiful, beautiful golden form was pale. He looked like he had aged years and years and years just in those few days in separation from Lord Chaitanya. Gadadhar Pandit was just sitting in a secluded place in the corner, crying. Then Srinivasacharya came, and when Gadadhar Pandit saw the beautiful devotion of Srinivas, he came back to life. He said, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, I decided to leave with him. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me that I should stay here just to give mercy to you. He told me that Srinivas will be coming. So he sat with Srinivas and he embraced him, soaked him with his tears. Then he sent Srinivas for darshan of Lord Jagannath. Then he came back and Gadadhar Pandit personally fed him Mahaprasad of Jagannath and of Tota Gopinath. Then they sat down to study Srimad Bhagavatam. But Srinivas noticed
that Gadadhar Pandit would keep the Srimad Bhagavatam on his lap. And in separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, torrents, rivers of tears were flowing from his beautiful lotus eyes. They were completely soaking the entire body of Gadadhar Pandit and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was on his lap. Gadadhar Pandit started narrating beautiful slokas of Bhagavatam with such sweet devotion. It was illuminating the heart of Srinivas. But Gadadhar said, I do not know how you will study from this Bhagavatam, because so many of the words are washed away by my tears. Not only by his tears, but for years he and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would both discuss from this Bhagavatam, and they would both weep tears on this Bhagavatam. So it looked like a very ancient Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Gadadhar Pandit told Srinivas that actually we cannot study Bhagavatam properly with this. You should go to Vrindavan. You should join with Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So Srinivas, he didn't want to leave Gadadhar. But somehow or other, he decided to go back. And where did he come to? He came to Srikanda. And here, he took shelter again of Narahari Sarakar. And with the inspiration of Narahari, he decided to go back to Jagannath Puri. And he received the Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So as he was returning to Puri, he was so much in anticipation to study Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit. So just when he got to the outskirts, the people told him that Gadadhar Pandit could no longer tolerate separation from Lord Gauranga. He has disappeared from this world. Actually, the first time Srinivas went to see Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar was so kind he sent him to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, where he had the personal association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai. He sent him to all the various different associates of Lord Chaitanya. This time Gadadhar was gone. So again he began to weep and cry and started tearing hair out of his head and started scratching his chest and beating his hair, his face, and falling to the ground, and he vowed to enter into fire. But by the arrangement of the Lord, he fell asleep, and Gadadhar Pandit appeared to him and tried to pacify him, but was not able to pacify him. And then he woke up and he was weeping and crying, and then he fell asleep again, and then Gaur Gadadhar, they both appeared before him with their beautiful golden forms, dancing in ecstatic love, looking at the beautiful form of Srinivas. They said, you go to Vrindavan, and there you take shelter of Rupa and Sanatana. But first he decided to go back to Bengal, Gauradesh. And he decided he especially wanted to take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Chandra. So with great haste, he was walking. He wanted to go to Kardaha, where Nityananda Prabhu was living, and Shantipur, where Advaita Chandra was living. And just when he came into Gauradesh, everybody from going that direction was asking, how is Nityananda Prabhu? How is Advaita Chandra? And then he received the news. They both left this world. They could not tolerate the separation of Lord Chaitanya. So then he fell to the ground again and started weeping and crying. Why am I still living? Why am I living? Why did they get to die? I'm not dying. He could not bear life. Again he decided, I will enter fire. What is this world without Lord Chaitanya, without Gadadhar Pandit, without Swarup Damodar Goswami? Raghunath Das Goswami has already left and gone to Vrindavan, and now Advaita and Nityananda Prabhu have left this world. So he fell asleep again. And Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Chandra Prabhu both appeared to him and told him, you go to Vrindavan. Then he came back to Srikanda and he worshipped the deity of Prana Gauranga and in the presence of Narahari Sarakar. And Narahari Sarakar at that time, he was completely immersed in separation. He was just weeping and crying, he was hardly eating, he was just worshipping his deity of Gauranga in utter separation. No one could understand what kind of ecstasies he was feeling. Then he went to visit Navadvip Dham. Srinivasacharya went to Sri Navadvip Dham and there he met Vishnupriya, the house of Mahaprabhu. Sachi Devi had already left. And he met Bamsi Badana on the road and he said that you come to Lord Chaitanya's house. And Vishnupriya told him that just today, my beloved Lord, actually, she was just telling her friends that today, Lord Gauranga appeared to me in his most elegant, charming form. And he gave so much affection and love to me. And then he told me that my dear devotee Srinivas is coming and he's suffering great grief of separation. Please give him your mercy. So, just at that moment as she was speaking, Srinivas came into the house. And Vishnupriya, so happily, she said that my Lord told me I should go on living just to give you mercy. How dear was Srinivasacharya to Lord Chaitanya? Then he met Srivas after Vishnupriya gave him nice prasad. He saw Vishnupriya. She was so emaciated, thin. She would not sleep. She would just take a piece of rice when she would chant mantras of Lord Chaitanya's name and whatever grains were there she would offer to the deity. She wouldn't even cook it. She would just soak it. And then she would just take a tiny portion of that. Hare Krishna. So he met all the surviving residents of Navadvip. He met Abhiram Thakur. He met Janava Devi. And then ultimately he was going to Vrindavan. And when he came to the outskirts of Vrindavan, Mathura, he was bathing in Vishram Ghat. And then he heard the news that Rupan Sanatan Goswamis had left this world. So again he decided to end his life. But then Rupan Sanatan appeared. And they told him, you should go to Vrindavan and you should take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami and you should learn the scriptures from Jiva Goswami. And at the same time, Rupan Sanatan appeared that same day to Gopal Bhatta and Goswami and to Jiva Goswami to say the message. So Srinivasacharya came into Vrindavan. And ultimately, he took initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he learned the Shastras from Jiva Goswami, and he became so dear to all the devotees. He became intimate associates with Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu. And on the request of Janava Devi, Jiva Goswami and the other Goswamis instructed Srinivas and Narottam and Shyamananda to bring the books of the Goswamis to Bengal. And you all know the story, how they were stolen in Vanavishnupuram. And Srinivas ultimately made the king, Virambir, and the whole kingdom, Vaishnavas, followers of Lord Chaitanya. And he stayed there for some time. But the people of Jajigram were very much feeling separation from him. So, Srinivasacharya returned to Jajigram, and then he came to Srikanda, And at that time, Narahari Sarakar was very, very much deeply engrossed in separation from the Lord. And soon after, Narahari Sarakar disappeared from the world in separation. So Raghunandan Thakur wanted to have a wonderful, wonderful disappearance festival for Narahari Sarakar. This festival, Raghunandan Thakur invited all of the surviving great associates of Lord Chaitanya to attend. The surviving people at that time, of course, this is some years later, were the sons of Advaitacharya, such as Sri Gopal, Krishna Mishra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu, Virabhadra Acharya, and other very great Mahants. So when these great devotees were coming, first they stopped in Jajigram, and the residents of Jajigram were so happy to receive them. And Srinivas Acharya so much wanted to serve them, they just stayed there and had wonderful Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan for 4 or 5 days. Then they all came to Sri Khanda. And this village was so full of bhakti that the whole village of Sri Khanda came out to greet these great devotees with so much love and so much affection. They welcomed them with kirtan and with all kinds of auspicious offerings. And Raghunandan Thakur personally brought them, gave them nice places of residence, gave them gifts. The residents of Sri Khanda were feeling so much grief from the disappearance of Narahari, but so much joy that the Lord's devotees have come to our village to bless us. They were thinking, how fortunate we are that they are coming, but how unfortunate that someday they will leave. It was Ekadasi, and Raghunandan Thakur greeted everyone with great humility. In the center of Sri Khanda, in the area of Narahari Thakur's ashram, where we had just been, he constructed a beautiful mandap and all sorts of wonderful decorations for the festival. And so many devotees were coming for this festival, and so many people from other villages were coming to see this festival. And at the beginning of the festival, they decided that Srinivas Acharya should recite Srimad Bhagavatam on Ekadasi day. So early in the morning, after the Mangal Arati and some kirtan, Srinivas Acharya came forward and saw all these great saints who were so senior to him. And he bowed down and he felt very embarrassed. And they all said, "We want you to speak. Please do not feel embarrassed." So he sat in a special seat, and from morning until the end of the day, Srinivas Acharya recited the beautiful topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. And all the great devotees were so happy to hear this. Then they attended the Arati of Pranagauranga. They all worshipped the deity of Pranagauranga, the worshipable deity of Narahari himself. Kirtan started in such a beautiful way. And Raghunandan Thakur and Lochandas Thakur, the two of them personally began to garland and put sandalwood on each of the special associates of Lord Chaitanya. And Virabhadra Acharya called Raghunandan Thakur and said, "Give me a garland and sandalwood." So he gave it. And then Virabhadra Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu's son, placed the garland on Raghunandan and personally decorated him with the sandalwood. Everyone was so happy to see this loving relationship of all these great, great senior saintly Vaishnavas just garlanding each other and bowing to each other and embracing each other and exchanging so much love with each other. Devotees were intoxicated by seeing this wonderful exchange. Then Raghunandan began such a nice kirtan. They offered sandalwood and garlands to each of the murdungas and kartals, knowing that they are the personal paraphernalia of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore they are worshipable. Then they began the kirtan. And as they began the kirtan, everyone's heart were melting to hearing the sweetness of the devotion of their voices and the wonderful spiritual melodies they were singing in and the power of the holy names. And soon the kirtan was becoming more and more and more ecstatic. It was becoming so ecstatic that soon Krishna Mishra and Sri Gopal and all these other great, great elderly associates of Lord Chaitanya, they just got up and began to dance with all the other devotees. And then Bir Bhadra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu, he just like a madman, he just jumped up and started dancing and dancing. He was dancing so beautifully. People were so charmed. Anyone who would see his dancing with their hearts would overflow with love of God. And as he was dancing, everyone was celebrating and glorifying this beautiful mercy of Virchandra's dance. And there was one blind man who was in that kirtan who came from the village of Srikanda. And he was asking, who is it that's dancing? And they said, Virabhadra. He said, oh, Vira means one who destroys demons, and Bhadra means one who protects the pious. And he began to pray in his heart of hearts, oh my Lord, please let me see the beautiful dance of Bir Bhadra. And Bir Bhadra, who could hear the prayer within his own heart, he glanced at that blind man, and immediately the blind man could see. And what was the first thing he saw? Bir Bhadra dancing in ecstasy. And upon seeing this, the blind man, filled with ecstatic love, he himself began chanting the holy name. Everyone began to glorify the mercy of Bir Chandra. The kirtan went on for hours and hours and hours into the night. And everyone forgot that they even had material bodies. It was a codicy. Nobody ate or drank anything all day long. They were just dancing and dancing and chanting and chanting and dancing and chanting and dancing and chanting, and it was just becoming tumultuous. The whole world was filled with the sound of the holy names of God. As they were dancing, the associates of Lord Chaitanya who were present there, they just started calling out Lord Chaitanya's names. Gauranga! Nityananda! Advaita Chandra! Sura! Gadadha! Swarup Tamadada Swami! And as they were chanting and chanting so loudly, and again they were just remembering Lord Gauranga praying, when again will we see the beauty of Gauranga? And this kirtan was so transcendentally ecstatic. Please understood, this took place here in Srikanda. In the village of Srikanda, all these Mahants were chanting the holy names of the Lord so loud with so much intense devotion. The kirtan was just going on and on and on, and devotees were wailing and crying in separation from the associates of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not restrain himself from personally appearing with his associate and entering into the kirtan of Srikanda, Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki! When Lord Gauranga appeared here in Srikanda amidst this wonderful kirtan in the temple of Raghunandan Thakur, all the devotees became ecstatic, and the kirtan went to ecstatic heights beyond expectations of the mortal mind. The holy names were just pouring out of their hearts. Hare Krishna! As they saw the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga and his associates, everyone just became completely mad, intoxicated in ecstasy. And the people, they were just bowing down to each other and garlanding each other and embracing each other and crying on each other and serving each other and dancing and dancing and chanting and chanting. Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared and fulfilled all of their desires here in Srikanda. The kirtan went on until Mangal Arati. After Mangal Arati, Raghunandan Thakur went to the senior Vaishnavas headed by Veer Bhadra and asked them how they would like to celebrate Dwadasi. They told him that they would like to celebrate Dwadasi by taking Prana Gauranga's Mahaprasad. All the people of Srikanda and all the villages, they had never seen a kirtan like this before. Everyone became filled with love of God to see the devotees' love. That morning, Raghunandan, in order to please the devotees, he had his disciples arrange a wonderful, wonderful feast. So many preparations. The pujari offered to Radha Gopinath, as well as Prana Gauranga, this wonderful feast. And after put the deities to rest. And then Raghunandan personally began to serve the great associates of Lord Chaitanya, this prasad. And they were so pleased to see all these offerings. They were so happy. It was such a beautiful, beautiful offering to the Lord. They wanted the Raghunandan to sit with them and take prasad, but he just wanted to serve. Please listen very carefully to this story. They all began to take prasad. And as they were taking prasad, they were glorifying Raghunandan's wonderful arrangements. Meanwhile, Raghunandan went to the secluded place that Narahari Sakar used to sit. The place that we had just been, the sitting place of Narahari. And he took the table of Narahari and he placed the offering there of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Mahaprasad and some scented water. This whole festival was the disappearance day festival for Narahari Saraka. Raghunandan Thakur, with great, great devotion and folded palms, he offered the prayers to make the offering of the bhoga to his Guru Maharaj. And then he went outside of the room and closed the door. For some time, to let his Guru Maharaj eat. Then he opened the doors, the same doors we just looked through, the same sitting place of Narahari Sarakar. And what did he see when he opened the doors? He saw his beloved spiritual master, Narahari Thakur, in a celestial, beautiful spiritual form, sitting there and eating the prasad. Raghunandan Thakur, in great ecstatic love, began to weep and cry. His Guru Maharaj Narahari had fulfilled his dear innermost desire. And then he went in and he just, at the sitting place of Narahari Sarakar, he started placing on his head in great love. This was the culmination of the disappearance celebration. It is one of the most historical disappearance celebrations in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. After this beautiful darshan, Raghunandan ran back to see the other great devotees who were still eating prasad, and he started again, continued serving them. And when they were finished, he served the servers, and when all the servers were finished, he served whoever else was there, and then he personally ate himself. And everyone was thinking, although Raghunandan is such a beautiful singer and beautiful instrumentalist and such a great scholar and such a great devotee, such a good organizer, he's so very humble, eager to serve with such compassion, not only the great souls, but even the most fallen, poor. Tomorrow is the disappearance day of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We will be celebrating it at his Pushpa Samadhi in Sridhar Mayapur. It's actually a very wonderful fortune that we have that tonight we could come here to Sri Khanda to remember this very, very wonderful disappearance day of Narahari Sarakar. And to remember the glorious attributes of the eternal residence of this holy dharma. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that in hearing and chanting the glories of his devotees, we can become especially very purified in our hearts. Because the nature of our hearts is to be envious. We are in this world because of envy. We remain in this world because of envy. How to overcome and purify our hearts of envy? It is actually a simple process. By hearing the glories of devotees. By speaking the glories of devotees, by serving the Lord's devotees, and by chanting and hearing the glories of Krishna. Through this sublime process, Krishna is pleased and cures us of the disease of envy. And to the degree we take pleasure in seeing others progressing, when we take pleasure in seeing others achieving good fortune, to that degree we can understand we are truly blessed by the Lord. These great residents of Sri Khanda were the most jewel-like illustration of the Lord's associates. And by coming to this holy place, which is eternally sanctified by them and by the Lord Himself, we can purify our hearts. And that is the purpose of this pilgrimage. So at this time, let us bow at the dust of the feet of this holy place. Shrikanda. We pray for the mercy of these great personalities, Lochandas Thakur, Raghunandan Thakur, Narahari Sarakar, Mukunda Sarakar, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Srinivasa Acharya. And in this mood, let us return to Sri Dharmayapur and celebrate the wonderful Tirubhava of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Without Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we would have no access to understanding these wonderful lilas, or these wonderful personalities, or even the true path of bhakti. Without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya would be practically unknown to the world. So tomorrow is such a glorious day for us to remember Him on His disappearance day and offer our lives to Him in sincere devotion. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.